who says, God forgives my sins so that my sins don't matter. And so now I can do whatever the heck it is I want to do, is a blasphemer. Does not understand the gospel nor the law. Jesus warns us against this in the gospel today. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The law is not wicked, nor is it haphazard, or is it spoken by chance. It is not random. Its moral code and patterns are good. They are very good. They embody and express God's good and gracious will for us. It was not punishment when God told Adam to abstain from eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Nor did it damn him either. It was simply good. It was law and it was gospel. Because the law educated Adam. It taught him who God was. And, maybe just as importantly, it taught him who he was in relation to God. The holy law is still good. Even though our fallen flesh at times hates it and we ram our heads up against it over and over again in every turn, the law has not been abolished. You know that old Adam here wants it to be. It has been, though, fulfilled. And because it's been fulfilled, it instructs and it orders the sons and daughters of God more fully and more completely than it ever did before the incarnation of Jesus. The law is fulfilled in the Lord's active and passive obedience. And that is important when we want to explain what each of those things mean. His active obedience is that he did not commit sin. He did not transgress the law. He lived according to the law that was given to Moses. In every way, in every respect, he was under the law, right? We've been hearing that over the past couple of weeks. He did not engage in lustful thoughts, wrath towards his brethren, or licentiousness. He did not let his mind wander into any of those things he loved, and he served his neighbor, even as himself. And he held nothing back in doing that. Nothing. He gave it all. And though he was aggressively tempted throughout his entire life, had to live among sin with sinners and with the consequence of other people's sins, he did not transgress the law that he spoke at Sinai. And it was him that spoke at Sinai. He kept it in his heart and in his life. Truly, what Psalm 1 says about this man is absolutely true. That his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates both day and night. That is not about me, and it is not about you, it is about him. Jesus' passive obedience to the law is different, a little different. Even though he was without sin, did not transgress the law, even still he suffered for it, right? He suffered its full punishment due the brokenness that sins have caused in our lives and in the lives of others, he offers himself as pardon and refuge. He is quick and he is joyous to give what he receives when he eats with sinners, even as he feeds us with himself. Your sins are not too enormous or too shocking or too old. His grace is for you. And in his mercy, he has also done this for you. Because of those who are in danger of taking his mercy for granted, for the sake of those who might be deluded by delays in asking for forgiveness and think that their sins are insignificant or that their sins don't matter, or maybe even that their sins are honorable, for them he has made the day of your death uncertain, so that you don't know when your last hour will come. You do not know, and you should fear God's wrath and the possibility that the last day will come in the midst of your sin. That is mercy. That is a mercy from the God who loves us. You should repent and not become arrogant in the hope of God's mercy, as though it were a right, for it is not. Because he has not come to abolish the law. He has come to fulfill it in himself. He has said to the woman caught in adultery, "There is no one to accuse you, nor do I condemn you." And at the mighty word of the Lord, she is secure in her past. She knows that she is forgiven. Her sins are not counted against her. She is not condemned. And neither are you. And neither am I. He loves you, and your past is forgiven. But what did he say to you? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. His law is not a recommendation or a suggestion, it is a command. Because your sin not only angers God, it also places the soul in peril. Do not forget that. To you, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The gentle kindness of the Lord is not weakness or uncertainty. Sin is never trivial. Own up to it. And secondly, stop doing it, for goodness sakes. Not for goodness sakes, for Christ's sake. Stop sinning. You are not forgiven if you continue in your sin. Don't forget that, Christians. And three, he has made it possible for you to ask God for his abundant mercy, and you know what? He will always give it to you. Because he loves you and you are his child. And so set your heart and your mind once more to be free from sin. To be free of it, to amend your life, to bear fruits worthy of repentance. And then rest in the pardon bestowed constantly.